Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Peyton Jones guides us through the Old Testament book of Leviticus. Now to Pastor Peyton.
Leviticus 9 today on Through the Word. Verse 1 says, "And Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel." This chapter is awesome, literally. Are you ready to see fireworks today? In this chapter, there's an explosion of fire to show that God accepts their sacrifices after the first time that they're offered. If this were a comic book, the caption at the top left would read, "And 7 days later." Aaron and his sons have been camping out for 7 days inside of what's called the courtyard of the tabernacle. There's usually a picture of it in the back of your Bible. Maybe stop for a second and look it up. It was made of cloth being attached to poles, kind of like a windbreaker wall you might find at the beach. And Moses was standing outside of this courtyard, calling instructions to them. That's why it says, "And Moses called." He was radioing in instructions for them when they made their first sacrifice. But before they did that, they had to be clean or holy. So they've been inside for 7 days eating bread and drinking wine, or the grain and the drink offering. During this time, they've touched nothing unclean. There hasn't even been a risk of it, nor have they eaten anything unclean. They are completely clean, and the number 7 being a symbol of completeness. What they're about to do is crucially important. They're getting ready to offer sacrifices both for themselves and for others. Verses 1 through 4 list off the two sacrifices they're going to need to offer themselves. Number 1, the sin offering, which covers their indwelling sin. And number 2, the burnt offering, which is a symbol of them being dedicated to God. Secondly, they're going to offer 2 for the people. The sin offering, again for the people's indwelling sin, and the peace offering, so that the people can feast and celebrate and have a party, giving thanks for their restored fellowship with God. And mixed in with that is a grain offering, as per instruction in the previous chapters, to show their gratitude. Verses 8 through 21 give us a play-by-play as they carry out these instructions and they offer these sacrifices to show that they did everything according to the pattern. As you read verses 8 through 21, see if you can remember what had to be done and in what order and what it symbolized. Pretend that you yourself are one of the Levites. The blood had to be put on the horns, the bowl of blood splash against the side of the altar, the fat had to be offered to the Lord, and the breast and thigh waved. The key verse in this section is verse 16, "And he offered it according to the rule." Now that's important. Number 1, because the sacrifice symbolizes Jesus. And number 2, because in chapter 10, when things aren't offered according to the rule, people go home in body bags. Verse 22 says, "And Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them, and he came down from offering the sin offering and burnt offering and the peace offering. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting, and when they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to the people, and fire came out from before the Lord, and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of the fat of the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces." Skadoosh! In verse 23, Moses and Aaron are finally able to approach God at that tent. But now we also see God approaching them because of the sacrifice. It's as if God comes out of the tabernacle. Now in the New Testament, we see the order of this flip. God approaches us first through Jesus and then asks us as a result to approach him. You might remember that in the Garden of Eden, holiness was contained within. And therefore, when they sinned, they were pushed out. It's kind of like in the old films where you have someone being quarantined. The sick person is under the mosquito net in the tent. But here it's reversed. God, the Holy One, is inside the tent, and everything outside the tent is dirty. The tabernacle, or all these tents and all these curtains, are God's way of saying, "Stay out. You are unclean. I am holy." Remember, the way of making them clean was through blood, not through water. It was an issue of guilt. Somebody had to be punished. To bring you near, something had to die. Like Romans says, therefore God remains both just or holy and the justifier of those he calls. And calling means to bring you near, if you remember. In the garden, we see sinners being pushed away, cast out, rejected, outcasts. Here we see that because of the sacrifice, we're brought near once again. We're accepted. The fire coming out of the tent from the presence of God and licking up the sacrifices with flame was God's way of showing that these sacrifices were acceptable. And therefore, so were we. Skadoosh! You might just want to tuck away the fact that in the Bible, blessing always has to do with God bringing someone close to Him, and cursing, like in the garden, has to do with God pushing someone away. Therefore, when it says that Moses and Aaron come out of the tent and bless the people, and then the fire comes and licks up the sacrifice, showing they were accepted, remember we talked about the covenant. That the covenant brings a curse for disobedience. And it seems that's all we contribute to this deal. But Jesus, through His obedience and death and sacrifice, earned for us all of the blessings of this relationship, this covenant we've made with God. So, today, be blessed. When you see God's glory appearing, you have to understand that it's the radiation of all God was, all that He is. As they come near to God here, His glory radiates out from Him like Jack Black, who said that his enemies would go blind from overexposure to pure awesomeness. However, unlike Kung Fu Panda's assertion that there's no charge for awesomeness, Leviticus lets us know that the cost was enormous. It was the death of these innocent animals so that God could come near to the guilty. You see, the Bible says that God dwells in unapproachable light because He's so holy. And like the surface of the sun, when you stare up into the sky, you don't see the sun itself. You see the glory of the sun radiating. And if you look too long, you'll go blind. The fire that shot out from the glory of God consumes everything. Skadoosh! Fire is a symbol of judgment, burning everything that is unholy. And yet, that fire also is a symbol of acceptance, God being pleased. Well, the people are awed and overwhelmed. They fall on their faces shouting out. When I was a kid, I can remember seeing fireworks for the very first time, being terrified that the sky was on fire itself and was going to fall on my head. Well, when I got older, I wasn't worried about fireworks anymore. I understood that they weren't going to hurt me. But unfortunately, I lost some of the awe and wonder that I had as a child. Have you lost some of the awe and wonder that you had? This was these people's first time seeing God's glory. If you've lost that sense of being overwhelmed by His awesomeness, picture yourself today at that tent while you read Leviticus chapter 9. And as you do, I pray you be awed and overwhelmed by God, by His pure awesomeness. Skadoosh!
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Peyton Jones is the co-host of the Church Planter Podcast and author of the book Church Zero. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.